Come with me all on a journey through my head. I've seen it all. Young and old, all alone, struggle to forget. Journey with me in the mind of a medic. Oh, journey with me in the mind of a medic, 'cause that's my everyday. Oh, in the mind of a medic.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to A Medic's Mind, the podcast. Now, I know it's not on the same day every week.
Ooh, you suck.
And I apologize. I really will try to become more consistent with getting it out on Tuesdays, but here I am on a Thursday. It still starts with tea, right? It's before Friday.
That's not how it works. That's not how any of this works.
I'm sorry. Life is just, it's just busier now in very good ways, in very positive ways. I have more things to preoccupy my time with having a loving girlfriend and her two young kids. As well as living back in BC, there's always something to do. There's always something going on, something happening. So, yeah, I apologize, but, you know, it is what it is. Plus, these podcasts that I'm doing, the stories that I'm doing, are a little more in-depth. By in-depth, I mean, like, sound effects-wise, I'm always trying to perfect them and become a little better at it, more proficient at it. So, there is that aspect of it as well. And because it's just me, I'm a one-man show. I record everything. I write everything. I edit everything. I then read and record the audio of it and then edit the audio of it. Plus, I have to find all the sound effects. It's a lot. But it is something that when talking about certain stories, I enjoy. And speaking of stories, I do have one for you today. But before I get into it, I have a confession to make. And it's gonna piss people off, okay? And it's not intended to piss people off, but I also don't care if it pisses people off because it is my truth. It's how I am. It's how I feel. And so I'm just gonna put it out there right now. My confession. I, Matthew Joseph Hennigan of A Medic's Mind, absolutely, unequivocally hate the summertime.
No! No!
I do. I know what you're saying. I hate it. I hate it. First off, I don't understand. We're about to come into 43 degree temperatures here in the next week. Okay. Why does the Okanagan need to be 43 degrees of anything? Negative 43 or plus? Why does it need to? It doesn't. The answer is it doesn't. Okay. And the incessant insects and the constant blinding colors, the cerulean skies that expand on forever. And then the just piercing greens of the emerald. And I'm making it sound nice, but and it is nice objectively, but it's just so no, I'm done. No, give me the fall. I'm happy with fall all year round. There's no insects. There's just no bugs crawling into your house. No bugs flying by your face. The bees, the flies, the mosquitoes. You can't even sit outside in the evening time without getting smorgasbord by mosquitoes. Like, why? No, I'm done with the summer. However, this story takes place in the summertime. So it also takes place when I was 12 years old. And it's another story that features my good buddy, Ryan. Don't forget to check out his YouTube channel, Ryan's Recreational Use. It's a pretty great little, he does little short videos, three to five minute videos. And it kind of ranges from anything. It's about his life and, it's kind of cool. It really kind of pulls you in. I like it. I really enjoy it. So head over there, Ryan's Recreational Use on YouTube. Head over there, give him a like if you can, help him grow his channel a little bit and, enjoy his content. And today, before you leave here and go over to his channel, stay here for a moment because I do have a story for you. It is called The Creeper House. The other day I was out golfing with Ryan and he had reminded me of some of our shenanigans that we got into as kids and some stories that I had forgotten about. And he told me, reminded me how we used to kind of go in abandoned houses and buildings and things like that when we were younger and go and explore and be intrepid urchins of the small town, the Salmon Arm experience. Anyway, I as soon as he mentioned it, I remembered this time that we went by this old house that we'd kind of called the Creeper House. And at least that's what I dubbed it in my head. And anyway, for story purposes, it's called the Creeper House. And yeah, this is that story. And it kind of comes with a bit of a life lesson that I learned much later in life and a life lesson that I'm also using now to combat my professed hatred for the summer. So I hope you guys enjoy it. This is episode 208 of the Emetics Mind podcast. It's coming up next. It is called The Creeper House.
Dispatch to Emetics Mind. Dispatch to Emetics Mind. Come in. You're being dispatched to a story. Code 4.
The sun poured down atop of everything. It was so hot out that the horizon fizzled and melted into itself. A steady, sibilant buzz of insects harmonized the landscape. I sought refuge beneath a cascading big-leaf maple. My back rested against the braille of its grayish bark. It wasn't uncomfortable, just noticeable. I was bored out of my mind. It was too hot to do anything strenuous, and too nice a day to be inside. At least, that's how Mum felt. So she commanded that I flee the house and experience the offerings of our outdoors, much to my dismay. I'd made it about as far as our backyard, and that's where I'd collapsed in adolescent defeat, shielded by expansive leaves that swayed above. I sulked with downward gaze, listening to the orchestra of summer clamor all around. Birds squawking, branches catching wind, and the occasional convertible driving by blaring the top 40 before disappearing around the corner. Everything that I hated. I am not a summer person, not by any stretch. So while some may find serenity and joviality among these sounds, all they are to me are vexations to go along with the abhorrent heat. I was now throwing small pebbles at my shoe, a desperate attempt at thwarting further tedium. I hadn't noticed yet, but my friend Ryan had been approaching along the path from his house to mine.
Hey, Matt.
His voice, chipper and buoyant as always.
Hey, Ryan. What's up, man?
I forced a reply. Not because I was unfazed by seeing him, but because an all-encompassing doldrum had weakened any and all enthusiasm for me.
What are you up to? Not much, man. Mom kicked me out of the house to enjoy the weather. So here I am, flinging rocks at myself, waiting for the tireless hours of existence to crawl toward whatever arbitrary time she sees fit to allow my readmittance to our humble abode.
Right. That sounds fun, in like a deeply depressing way. I was gonna go check out the Creeper House. You wanna come?
The Creeper House.
At the far side of the field that rested to the rear of my place, sat an old, timeless structure. We had bequeathed this place with the title Creeper House, based on looks alone some months prior. The wood paneling and roofing was worn and arthritic. Moss and other appendages of nature had begun to reclaim this decaying architecture. If you were to look at it, the only thing one could deduce with certainty was that this old house was without a doubt creepy and haunted. Ryan and I had spoke often about wanting to traverse the shadowy insides of this place. At 12 years of age, we fancied ourselves as adventurists, when in reality we were just naive boys that failed to contemplate the potential dangers of navigating a crumbling building.
The cautionary yellow tape and signage did little to dissuade our gutter snipe brains. I felt a sudden swell of delinquency overtake me. The thought of finally exploring that which was off limits was the cure to my summertime sadness.
Absolutely.
Ryan began to smile. Well, more than he already had been. Up until that point, the idea of going into this place had merely existed in the realm of colloquial exchange. But now we stood at the precipice of exploration. The stuff manhood is made of. My mind raced with unmatched pace at what kind of plunder we may encounter while lurking in the guts of a dying house. Ryan and I knew that we couldn't go to our homes and kit ourselves out for this imminent voyage, so we were on our own, having to rely solely on our wits, camaraderie, and chutzpah, taking with us only the clothes on our backs and the zeal within our hands. I stood up from the tree that had been providing me shelter from the overlooking sun, and walked a few steps to my right, bringing into view the dilapidated house at the distant end of the field. To get there, we would have to churn through an unkempt sea of craggy land, festooned by thickened brush, loose dirt, and swaths of discarded litter. In this moment, I felt like Frodo, albeit a little taller and my feet far more proportionate, but nonetheless, steaming toward a figurative Mordor. Ryan and I hopped the chain-link fence and plopped over to the other side. The sounds of summer that had once been boasting jubilantly had now become darker and more ominous. Before continuing to move, Ryan and I tossed glances at one another. Without saying a word, we relayed that it was time to push on. Moving like soldiers in the dense foliage of Vietnam, we crept low and cautiously. I picked up a branch from off the ground and was now using it as a makeshift machete, slashing through the ascending weeds and vines. Flies and other bothersome insects of flight bombarded our brows, cheeks, and face. I was performing a dance of swatting these heathens away from my face with one hand, while slicing at the matted brush in front of us with the other. Inch by inch, bit by bit, we neared the fabled Creeper House. Eventually, we made it to a clearing, and had only a dozen or so feet to navigate before arriving at the property. Both Ryan and I stopped just before the yellow caution tape, breathing heavily but quietly to ourselves. At that age, it was less likely that we were out of shape, and more so that we were gleaming with anticipation at what was to come. Something about the forbidden unknown gives a young boy a rush. I could feel a smile begin to etch itself to my face. I used my left hand to push my glasses up my nose from where sweat and exertion had made them slide.
You ready for this?
Ryan asked.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I panted. Neither Ryan nor I moved, our feet cemented by a thick trepidation. From afar, yes, this house appeared creepy enough, but when standing mere feet away, you could almost hear it breathe. It sounded like a low growl, a moan of lamenting wood, rusted hinges that groaned in the wind, the doorway more akin to a twisted mouth over that of a welcoming invite, the porch steps bowed beneath the weight of time.
Should we just go in, or?
I queried, never allowing my eyes to leave the house.
Yeah, sure. Maybe in like a minute. Sure. Sounds good.
In what I presumed to be the living room window hung a dreary curtain, hole-punched by the passage of time and neglect. It used to be white, but now it was a mess of dust and dirt. From where I was standing, I could not see the inside. Just a black void. After several long moments, Ryan and I took three or four steps across to the other side of the caution tape. One last "keep out" sign stood between us and the great unknown. My heart wrestled with itself inside my chest. A thumping crescendo pierced the inside of my ears the closer I got to the menacing doorway. Ryan and I glanced over our shoulders to ensure no one was looking at us, and with one last inhalation of bravery, we crossed into the shadows of inside. It was muggy. The air was stale and bitter, musty and sick. Our eyes began to bring more and more into focus as they grew accustomed to the dark. With the assistance of acclimatization and whatever light managed to break in through the cracks here and there, I was able to discern that it had been many a year since anyone had dared to live in this place. Remarkably, there was still furniture scattered throughout. Some decrepit picture frames still clung to the walls. Faded images of unrecognizable people rested beneath breaking and broken glass. Ryan and I grew a little more dauntless now that we were inside. Ryan even placed himself on the dust-soaked couch in the living room, portraying himself as regal as he pantomimed consuming from an old, empty whiskey bottle found nearby. I laughed and picked up one of the books that sat on the shelf next to me. I opened it vigorously. A mistake, considering the dust cloud that consumed my breathing space. I coughed hacks of instant regret, and Ryan laughed chortles of encouragement. We meandered around the main level of the house a bit, exploring cupboards and drawers. Nothing too exhilarating was discovered. But it was just cool being in an abandoned house that we had planned on visiting for so long. This was until we discovered stairs leading further into the bowels of this place. Peering down the steep stairway that led into an abyss of blackness, I felt my pulse quicken. Ryan was now standing beside me. I decided to speak first.
There's no reason to go down there. It's probably empty anyways. Yeah, no reason to check it out. Unless you're scared. Dude, I am not scared. Unless you're scared.
So, with both of us having admitted to being scared shitless without saying it aloud, we simply shut what was left of the door and walked away from the basement, each of us boasting an exaggerated sense of intrepid confidence to the other. It was in the midst of this fabricated bravado that I hastily remarked,
"Dude, I'm so not scared. I'll prove it. Let's head upstairs."
My arm now motioning to the ascending steps leading to the darkened second floor.
"Sure, sounds great,"
Ryan countered. He even brushed past me and carefully climbed two or three steps. I was hoping that he wouldn't call my bluff, and that we would just leave. But that was not the case. And in the 12-year-old's game of dare poker, you cannot back down from a self-initiated challenge once bluff has been called. You fold, you're a pussy. And as much as I wanted to be a pussy, I also didn't.
"Alright, let's go. Gonna be fine up there anyways." "Yeah, I know. That's why I'm going. Yeah, me too."
I finished and began walking behind Ryan. The closer we got to the top, the less light there was. There was too much old insulation and overlapping slabs of wood. We even had to duck down to get off the top step and onto the upper floor. I felt it sink subtly beneath my sneakers.
Hey, Matt. "Yeah, dude. You don't really think this place is haunted, do you?"
I wanted to say no, but my bones shook with a certainty contrary to that assertion. I tried to muster a response that correlated with the facade I had been displaying earlier. But before I was able to say anything, a sudden clatter of shelving units collapsing in on themselves halted Ryan and I in place. Both he and I gaped through the dark, struggling to see anything in the ebonized hallway. My tongue began to taste the now restless dirt that had been awoken by whatever caused this sudden crash in the dark. In that moment, every single line of every single R.L. Stine Goosebumps book began to flood my thinking space. I began to feel a sudden warmth of fright ooze from cell to bone to skin. My eyes were as wide as they've ever been. I was as motionless as a statue. Despite the voice in my head demanding my retreat, I could not move. And just as I thought things could not get any worse, they did. From the direction of the noise came a truly horrifying sight. A pair of glowing eyes had emerged from down the hall. They were emanating from a beast that was at least 6 feet tall. They blinked once, twice, three times. Each time they did, the lower the eyes became. It was as though this horrible demon had decided to crawl along the diseased planks of wood flooring. Ryan didn't move, and neither did I, paralyzed by fear. The eyes, they drew nearer. I honestly felt that this was the end for me and my good buddy Ryan. I could now hear a ticking or tapping of claws along the wood as it neared. I closed my eyes and waited for the inevitable consumption of my flesh by this ghastly thing. With my eyes clenched tightly and my fists balled into mallets, every muscle in my body tightened to its maximum capacity, I felt the beast move along my legs. It weaved in and around my legs in a figure eight pattern. It had hair. Hair that grazed along the skin of my shin and ankles. I'm surprised that I could hear anything over the sound of my beating heart. But I did. As I readied to die, I heard a faint yet increasing sound. A rumble-like tone. It was throaty, and puzzlingly, non-threatening. As more of the sound entered my ears, I pried one of my eyes open and glanced downward. There was enough light to see what was happening. The beast, the creature that had caused such a fright, was nothing more than an on-furred house cat. It was also in this realization that I noticed Ryan was no longer standing beside me. No, he was knelt toward this thing, petting it and playing with it as it fell back and rolled cutely around in a display of affection. Ryan must have clued in much sooner than I, because there was not an ounce of fear in that boy, only smiles and joy as he played with his new, furry friend. But with that, I had had enough of urban exploration. Ryan and I left the old house and fled back to the sprawling maple where this all began. That was a solid life lesson in how our minds can make things seem much worse than they are. And I suppose it is a lesson that I could use today. You see, I still hate the summer. And if I just sit and listen to my mind, well, the reasons why will seem overwhelmingly real and powerful. Whereas if I choose to pry one eye open, I might just catch a glimpse of a setting sun, a pink sky, and forested pines washed in a golden hue. Something that can only occur on those dog days of summer. So, I guess it's not all bad. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have to go upstairs and feed the cats.
Just feel the summer sun as it warms our bed. I'm lying, and I'm lying when I say I'm not afraid, but I'm trying. Come and they go, but I hope you know that I